We are not curriculum driven. The curriculum just provides the train tracks. The engine of the train is men's hunger to be known and to know other men. Not just acquaintances, but buddies that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and not be rejected. Now, typically, if you call somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not to share good news. I mean, you're in a crisis. So who can you call? And I've often said that my CLC guys, I could call them and say, I need you in my driveway at 5 o'clock this morning, and I'm too embarrassed to tell you why. And every single man would be there.
Right.
Wow. Gosh.
I don't know of any other ministry that can say that.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Throwing Mountains podcast, where men are rediscovering courageous leadership. Come join us because you are going to be strengthened from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. Men who've become leaders in their spheres of influence by relying on God and following Jesus. My name is Mike Hatch, and I am your host, and I'm joined, as usual, by best-selling author Chris Bollinger. Welcome. If this is your first time joining us, a special welcome to you. I am really looking forward to today's interview because today we have the president of CLC, Christ-Led Communities, which you've heard us talk about often on the podcast and interviewed people whose lives have been impacted through it. So we're excited to have Craig Fry with us. Craig Fry, welcome to the Throwing Mountains podcast, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. And thanks, Chris.
And what I'm excited about is you are officially the, if you want to say, the outgoing president. You gave CLC a couple years warning that you're looking to retire. And that's part of why we're doing this interview. I really am excited to celebrate you and your efforts on CLC's behalf in helping to grow the ministry. And then also to look ahead and help make people aware of the fact that we're looking for a new president to take over. But Craig, we've interviewed you before. Actually, I think our first episode.
It's our first guest, yep.
That's right, our first guest. So if folks want to get the full backstory on Craig, you definitely want to go check that out. He's got an incredible story, and it makes so much sense why God chose him to be at the helm of CLC over these last, has it been 10 years at least, right?
11 years.
11 years. Whew, yeah. 11 years, man. But if you wouldn't mind, just for folks joining us for the first time, could you give us just a little bit of background, maybe two fence posts of your fence post story? Just kind of get a little bit of an idea of your background before we jump into hearing more about your tenure and discussing CLC and its impact.
Sure, I'll make it quick. I was in the ministry for a long time, went through a very dark season in my life, even as a professional clergy. We're not immune to sin. And so I got mired in sin, left the ministry, thought those days were over. God had other plans. And after a long hiatus, about almost 15 years, I guess, came back into ministry due to an invitation from CLC to become their president. And I thought they were crazy because I'd never done their program before. And they have proven me right. They are crazy. The leadership of CLC is in love with Jesus and in love with God's word and in love with the idea that men's lives can be transformed if we would just get honest, own our stuff, and walk shoulder to shoulder with other strong men. So, happily married. I have four daughters. I appreciate your prayers.
The girl dad.
Life's good. I'm ready to move to the next chapter.
Yeah.
Craig, can you refresh our audience's memory or tell them, if they didn't listen to the first episode, a little bit more about how CLC approached you and what your reaction was initially when that happened?
Okay. I love telling this story because it's a God-sized story. I was running a textile plant in South Carolina, and I loved my paycheck, but I didn't love my job. I wanted to get back in ministry, but I thought I had burned that bridge. But then one day in my prayer time, God spoke to me and said, my word is still true, and I may not be done with you yet. So I claimed that promise. I said, God, you said you would give me the desires of my heart. And so I wrote out eight things. These eight things are close to my heart. These are the desires of my heart. And if you would grant those desires, that would be amazing. 2 weeks later, I'm on a business call in Nashville, Tennessee, and I get connected through LinkedIn with a guy that had done some career transition work. We met. I shared what I didn't know at the time was my fence post story. I shared my fence post story with him, and he shared that information with CLC. Unbeknownst to me, he had been on staff at CLC for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
A guy named Ron Doyle. And so Ron gave him my info. I get a phone call, and the phone call went like this. Hi, Craig. It gave his name, and he said, I'm headhunter. We're looking for the new president of CLC. Would you be interested in being interviewed? I didn't know what CLC was. I thought it was maybe another corporation or something. I said, what is it? And he said, well, we do men's discipleship, very strong relational component to it, and we do that all around the country. And it was like, wow, that is my sweet spot. Men in relational discipleship. How do you do it? I'm telling you right now, he read back to me the eight bullet points that I wrote down.
Wow.
In South Carolina, almost verbatim. I started weeping. I was in the company car, and I was weeping so hard I had to get off the side of the road. Where are you located? He said, well, our office is in Brentwood, Tennessee, just outside Nashville. I said, so about 10 miles from where I am right now. He said, sir, I have no idea where you are right now, but that's where the office is. Anyway, so I interviewed with Hal Haddon, the founder, and we met at a coffee shop. And I shared my fence post story, not knowing, those of you that have done CLC, that's code language for, you know, tell me the stuff that makes you uniquely you. Mm-hmm. So I shared that with Hal, and I thought, well, this will kill it. Because I'm carrying this baggage, and I felt disqualified from ministry and leadership. And Hal didn't blink. He said, Craig, what you've done is you've told me that you're a CLC guy. You just don't know it yet. And so I went through the interview process, and that was 11 years ago. And next thing I know, I'm here talking to you two handsome gentlemen.
Yeah, right.
Your eyesight's gone too. So,
yeah.
Well, along with a bit of hair, but I have added some wrinkles and saggy skin. You see that?
Well, the timing of this interview is very interesting too, because very close to when this will release, we'll have another interview that we'll release with a guy who is here in Pittsburgh and an elder at a church down in Waynesburg, south of here. They implemented CLC for their men's discipleship program down there. And he's got a great testimony of how God's working in their church in powerful ways. What I've heard from him and what I typically tell people all the time is I don't know another discipleship curriculum content that is so relationally focused and that it does such an amazing job of facilitating relationships among men. Because let's face it, as men, we are awkward when it comes to relationships, right? And there's so much in the content that helps to make it less awkward. You know what I mean? That kind of externalizes it and holds us accountable to connecting with each other. But Craig, I would love to hear your take on the highlights that you have seen over this last decade that you've been in leadership in CLC. Because look, I can't think of a harder situation in any organization than to step in right after the founder leaves. I mean, man, those are big shoes to fill. But personally, I think you were the perfect fit to do just that. But over this last decade, what have been the highlights for you?
Well, just to see God show up and do what God does. I can't remember who said this. It's a neat little quip, but it's true. That it's fascinating when God shows up and shows off.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he has done at CLC. God has shown up and showed off. So this is totally God. In spite of me, God has blessed CLC. And in the past 11 years, we've gone from four area directors. That's like a territorial manager in a company. We've gone from 4 area directors to 14 area directors. Mm-hmm. We were in 72 cities. Now we're in 172 cities and 5 foreign countries. Mm-hmm. We're financially stable. We could always use another donation, by the way, if you're feeling generous.
Yeah, right.
Please call me. We had one curriculum, mm-hmm. one curriculum line. Now we have 4. So mm-hmm. I'd like to think we have something for just about every man at any stage of his life. Mm. We've gone through curriculum reviews. We've added different payment portals so that guys can come in super. You can get in CLC all inclusive for $50. And that's a move in the right direction. So this is the capstone or the pinnacle of the mountain recently. We now have CLC groups in Medellin, Colombia, which, as you probably know, is the drug capital of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to start 20 CLC groups in Medellin.
Wow.
Colombia. We've got groups in Guatemala, Peru, Puerto Rico, Canada. It's just, it's an amazing ride, and it's all God. So praise the Lord for all that.
Craig, that is awesome. Men's ministries are struggling for the most part. I'm involved with a group that oversees over 100 men's ministries. Few of them are thriving right now. A lot of them are struggling. Some are doing okay. CLC seems to be a contrast to that. It's growing. As you mentioned, it's reaching men in other countries. What are some of the reasons why? Obviously, God's blessing the ministry, but what do you think CLC is offering to men that is capturing men in an era where not only are men's ministries not doing well, men are not doing well in the church?
I think we've struck a chord on 2 major fronts. Number one, it is uniquely relational. We are not curriculum driven. The curriculum just provides the train tracks. The engine of the train is men's hunger to be known and to know other men. Not just acquaintances, but buddies that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and not be rejected. Now, typically, if you call somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not to share good news.
Right.
I mean, you're in a crisis. Mm-hmm. So who can you call? And I've often said that my CLC guys, I could call them and say, I need you in my driveway at 5 o'clock this morning, and I'm too embarrassed to tell you why. And every single man would be there.
Right.
Wow. Gosh.
I don't know of any other ministry that can say that. Mm-hmm. But it's because you spend a long time getting to know one another. Our Knoxville rep, David Bianconi, who you need to have on here, by the way, if you haven't already.
Yeah.
But he calls it a deep soak.
Yes.
He said that's what men want, a deep soak. We don't want just another name to add into our cell phone. Mm-hmm. We want somebody that we know is going to be there with us through thick and thin. So the relational component is key. And the second thing is, and this is countercultural, but it's going to sound odd when I say it, even more so than when you think it. We challenge a man to be a real man. We don't make it easy. Everybody else is trying to make it easier, quicker. Just, yeah, watch this video series and we'll get go to McDonald's and we'll meet once a month and talk about life. Okay. That's easy to get in, but it doesn't transform anybody's life. And half the time, those guys don't show up at McDonald's.
That's right.
So we say, look, this is tough. Are you man enough to do it? And we give a guy every reason not to do it. It's almost like we try to talk him out of it. I don't know. Are you man enough to take that mountain? Because, man, that's a steep climb. You sure you want to do this? Mm. And there's something inside the heart of a man that goes, dadgummit. I'm going to show you I can do this. Hmm. We went through a rebranding several years ago. I think, Chris, you were part of that process. Yeah. We went through this rebranding process, and this marketing firm said, there's one thing you don't need to lose under any circumstances. Do not lose the call to commitment that's tough, that makes it tough to join. Do not lose that because that's part of your secret sauce. So we've been using that phrase, secret sauce, to talk about the two things I just did, the relational component and the high level of commitment. So are we for everybody? I'd like to think we are, but the reality is probably not. We're not for every man because not every man will step up.
Yeah.
But for those who do, but for those men that are tired of just sitting in the stands watching the game, they want to get out of the stands and get on the field where it's more fun, CLC is for that man.
Yeah, and one of the things I love, and you mentioned this previously, how you've expanded the curriculum of CLC. And being a pastor myself, and maybe it's also a product of you being a pastor as well, Craig, and as I talk to other pastors, is what it provides is it does provide this process or kind of track to go through. So another the men's pastor in the West Allegheny area, West Hills of Pittsburgh, who started CLC there for his men's discipleship, he starts with Getting Real, and now he just graduated guys from the Getting Real content and now is about to jump into Next Steps, I believe is the next, which is perfect. And then, of course, you've got All In, which is the 2-year, which is very robust and a much heavier lift. But by that point in time, you've got these relationships with men and you've been instilled with the CLC DNA that you're really ready to step up to that. But I think that's a huge feature for CLC in my mind, especially for pastors and churches.
It's massive. And I do want to applaud the efforts of your co-host, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Chris authored the curriculum for us, the Getting Real curriculum. And it lets guys dip their toe in the water. So follow this analogy. The 2-year program, which is outstanding and it's our hallmark program, and I hope every man would do it. It is a very deep dive, but it's like asking a guy who has never been to a swimming pool to jump off the high dive.
Hmm. Yeah, it's great analogy.
I've never been in a swimming pool. I don't own swimming trunks, and you want me to jump off the high dive. Yeah. That may be too much. So Getting Real is, okay, look, let's go to the store. Let's buy a bathing suit. And get in the shallow end of the pool. This is called water.
That's right.
And then you get used to water, you get into the deep end, and then you go, hey, it looks fun going off that high dive. Let's do that. Hmm. I do want to mention just real quickly, put in a plug for pastors. Mm-hmm. Pastors, the beauty of the CLC program is we work in tandem with you and your leadership. Mm-hmm. We do not come in from the outside and take over your men's ministry. We're here as a resource and we work for you. Mm-hmm. So we keep you informed every step of the way and we work at your behest. And so I want pastors to feel comfortable. We have no secrets, no agenda. We're not looking to be in your budget. We just want to bless men's lives. If CLC can be a blessing to the men in your church, then please give us a call because there are literally no strings attached. Yep. None. Look, I'm a pastor. Mike, you're a pastor. You know what it's like. You got to be protective of the flock, right?
Yep.
I don't know these guys. I want to make sure the curriculum is in alignment with our theology and, you know, they're not going to do weird stuff. Look, let's have the conversation because we are no threat. If any, we just want to be a blessing.
Yeah. And there was a pastor I spoke to here in Pittsburgh at a church. And one of the things he said, and CLC's really taken off in his church, he said that he likes that it's a plug and play kind of thing. He doesn't have to do anything. He said it tells the men what to do. He said, sometimes as pastors, we overthink things or try to complicate things or want to reinvent the wheel ourselves. But for him, it was super valuable to just be able to hand this over to their men and let them run with it. So I agree. We got to think about it as pastors. We have to think about it as being a way to actually take pressure off of you as the pastor.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned the 2 o'clock in the morning phone call earlier. So pastor, what if you didn't have to field the call at 2 o'clock in the morning? Mm-hmm. What if other men who are serving as facilitators of men's groups in your church, what if they fielded the call at 2 o'clock in the morning and then they called you at 7:30 when you were having your first cup of coffee and said, hey, I worked through this with Billy Bob And I suggest you reach out to him. But that guy fielded the call at 2 a.m, not the pastor.
Amen.
The Throwing Mountains podcast is part of the BiblicalLeadership.com podcast network. The vision of BiblicalLeadership.com is to lift up Christ, spread his word, and edify, encourage, and spark boldness in his servants around the world. The Bible is, of course, a guide to eternal life, but it's also a real-world guide to living, providing guidance on a broad range of topics, including marriage, parenting, faith, work, and leadership. The folks at BiblicalLeadership.com provide rich content and resources that help leaders use the Bible as a practical leadership manual every day. Be sure to check out BiblicalLeadership.com today. Craig, I'd like to ask you about something. I don't think we've talked about it on this show before, and we've been doing this for 2.5 years. CLC has been around for over 40 years. And a lot of men's ministry has been around for a while, but there's been a lot of development, a lot of activity under your tenure for the past 11 years. And a lot of times when we talk to somebody about doing CLC, what we find is that it's reaching guys of different ages. So it's not just for the old men, right? So you'll have a group, and the guest that Mike mentioned, the initial group that they had guys from their 20s to their 70s. Can you talk a little bit about the dynamics of that in a church? Because I don't think you have a lot of that going on in churches. I mean, my church experience, and I've been, you know, in church my whole life, is you tend to hang out with people who are like you, right? So when you're a young married, you hang out with young married. When you're an older married with kids, you know, teenage kids, you hang out with the teenage parents. So how does CLC do that, and what are the dynamics of a group where you have men of different ages and experiences?
Let me tell you about one of the coolest groups that I've ever seen. And I believe it was in your area of the country, Mike, where this group was started. A dad and his son decided to start a CLC group. And so the dad recruited 4 of his friends his age, and the son recruited 4 of his friends the son's age.
That's amazing.
And so now you've got a group of men in their 50s and a group of men in their 20s, and they came together because the 2 co-facilitators were from that age group. And it was the coolest thing ever when they would compare notes. And they would go through a study. Let's say it's on how to create a budget for your family, because that's one of the things we talk about in our 2-year program. Well, the budgetary needs of the 50-year-olds for their family was far different than the budgetary needs of the family, a guy that's just getting started in his mid to late 20s. And then they're comparing notes, and the older guys would say, you know, I remember that too. And here's one thing that helped me. You know, if you just think 20 years down the road, I know it's hard to do because all you're worried about now is getting diapers from the grocery store. But put aside this amount of money for this cause. And I mean, it was the coolest thing. And I got to sit in on this and see them share their wisdom. And then the younger guys would share struggles from their age group that the 50-year-olds go, man, that is so weird because life wasn't anything like that when I was in my 20s. And now it is. I mean, the guys in the 50s, they didn't have cell phones. Right. There were no cell phones. I mean, you sent faxes. You didn't send text. It was so fascinating to see those. So anyway, identifying the co-facilitator is the key to the makeup of the group. If you want younger men in a group, then get younger facilitators. And CLC will help you identify those facilitators. You want older guys? Find older facilitators. If you want a mixed group, do that.
Yeah.
And the same goes, I mean, racial divisions can be healed. If you have an African American co-facilitator and paired up with a Hispanic facilitator, cool. What if you had 3 facilitators and you had a Hispanic facilitator, an African-American facilitator, and an Anglo facilitator? And they're all in one group, and each one of them gets 2 to 3 friends. Would that be cool? Well, guess what? That it happens. It works. Yeah. But it starts with a facilitator.
Man. Praise God, man. Praise God. In a moment, we'll transition to the fact that CLC is looking for a new president, and I want your thoughts on that. But as you think about the future of CLC, and I realize you're going to be retiring, but I'd really love to hear what your heart is for the future of CLC. What do you see? What do you hope for this in terms of this next president or where he might take CLC?
I'm so excited for whoever the new guy is. You know, the old adage is you never want to be the guy that follows the guy.
Yeah.
You want to be the guy that follows the guy that followed the guy. So you want to be the third in line, right? So hopefully I will have set it up for the new guy to come in and hit the ground running. And CLC's board is fully supportive of being aggressive, creative, thinking outside the box. And I applaud that because that's what's going to happen. Imagine, and I don't know what the new guy's going to do, but I will be in his corner cheering him on. I'll be cheering from a trout stream in Montana when I do it. But,
of course.
I'll be cheering him on. What if CLC grew to the point where it was kind of like a clearinghouse for other curricula, and we partnered with other ministries and said, kind of like the good housekeeping seal of approval. This is CLC approved curriculum. We've vetted the process. We know the leaders of this organization, and we fully recommend that you join this group over here or whatever. I mean, how cool would that be? Because I look at our core values, I look at the truths to which we adhere, and that's good for everybody that's in the evangelical community. Everybody that, if you love Jesus and you respect the Word of God, you will find a place in CLC. Your denominational orientation or whatever does not really matter that much to us. Where you are on the socioeconomic scale, that doesn't really matter to us. We want to know two things. Do you love Jesus? Do you love his word? Yeah, okay, come on. I just see boundless opportunities for the new guy. Where he takes CLC, I don't know, but I bet it's going to be awesome.
Craig, you mentioned four Latin American countries that are taking on CLC recently. And obviously there's been Hispanic men who've embraced it in the States as well. How does it translate? Not just the words. I know there's a Spanish translation, but how does it translate to Hispanic communities, not just in the States, but in other countries?
Like any good missionary effort, you need to know your audience. You need to know the cultural and societal expectations in that people group. One thing that's fascinating. Oh, I forgot China. We have groups in China.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, That's right.
So we have, I think, 40 men right now in communist China that are doing CLC. How awesome is that? So let's take those two cultures, for example. The Asian culture and the Hispanic culture are very different. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. So because we're not curriculum-driven, the curriculum provides a structure, but we're relationally-driven, it's an easier fit in those cultures. Case in point, the groups that meet in Guatemala or Puerto Rico, they are more event-oriented. So in the States, we're kind of sticklers for our group starts at 6 o'clock. Don't be late. In Medellin, Colombia, when they say 6 o'clock, they may not get started till 6:45. And nobody has a problem with that. Because they're not time-oriented, they're event-oriented. So that's a shift. In the Asian culture, if someone says, "Did you do your homework?" that's an insult. Well, of course I did my homework. You told me to do my homework. I did my homework. Why did you need to ask me that?
Yep.
In Nashville, Tennessee, that's a legit question.
Yeah.
Because you may not have done your homework.
Yeah.
You may not have memorized a scripture passage, where in an Asian country, if you ask that question, you do so with trepidation. It's like, you're just insulting my character, assuming I didn't do that. Mm. So, does that answer your question at all?
Yeah, it'll be very interesting, because I do think that's a huge next step for CLC, that you've already started blazing the trail with that. In terms of going global, as they say. But man, there's a ton more potential for God to work and expand the ministry in different countries, for sure.
And Chris and I had this conversation when we were developing the Spanish translation. And I told the board, I said, don't be surprised if our efforts with the Hispanic people dwarfs what we're doing with men in the United States. Because they don't have relational discipleship models in Spanish-speaking countries like we do in the United States.
Which is interesting, too, because in that culture, that's such a beautiful fit. I think in our culture, we live so isolated and apart. But one of the things, when I lived in Northwest Suburban Chicago, huge Latin America, Hispanic culture up there. And there, it was very clear, and it was one of the lessons I took away, was just how family oriented they are, how relationally oriented they are. On any weekend, if you drove by one of those parks around the area, you would see sometimes hundreds of folks, Hispanic, who were out there grilling out together, clearly multiple families hanging out together, playing soccer. Mm-hmm. Like, that is such a huge deal to them. It's interesting. I would think that the relational approach that CLC takes would be such a beautiful fit for them.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're right. They're drawn to community all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Men in the United States tend to be very isolated.
Yep.
And people in Spanish-speaking countries are not that way at all.
Yeah. Man, that's interesting.
A key partner for the Throwing Mountains podcast is the men's ministry CLC, Christ-Led Communities. CLC strives to build authentic community through the uncommon pursuit of Christ, and it has had an incredible impact on the lives of tens of thousands of men, including Mike Hatch and me. If you're like most men, then you have many male acquaintances, but few or even no trusted male friends. With CLC, you'll join with other men around the person and work of Jesus Christ, and powerful things will happen. You'll see masks removed and honest brotherhood begin. CLC is much more than a Bible study. It's a relational pathway that equips men for a lifetime of biblically based leadership. For more information, go to clchq.org or email Mike Hatch at mhatch@clchq.org. I think that isolation works to CLC's favor, though, especially among young men. I've been doing research, and we've talked about it on the podcast. Young men in the States are even more isolated than men in their 40s, 50s, and up. Something like 25% of men in their late teens, early 20s have no male friends, no close male friends. And for older men, they may have one or two. Men in their 30s and 40s, as they get older, they tend to have more male friends. But the days are over where men have a half dozen to a dozen really close male friends. But in spite of that fact, men are hungry to have brothers, but tight bonds with brothers. They know that they need it. They know that they want it. They just don't know how to get it. And I think CLC offers a great opportunity for men. So that there's the structure, like you said, but there's the flexibility. Each group can have its own flavor, its own dynamics within that structure of CLC.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's just basic. We need to go back to the definition of friend. I had a conversation with a younger man 2 weeks ago, and I said, how many male friends do you have? And he did this. He looks on his phone.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. He looks on his phone and he pulls up his Twitter account And he said, I have 400 male friends. Oh. I said, no, you don't. No, you have 400 guys who may or may not give you a thumbs up on your meme. That's what you've got. You don't have 400 male friends. We don't even know what friendship means anymore. And that's why men are so isolated, these younger men, because their whole life revolves around that thing that you and I put in our pockets, our cell phone.
Right.
That's not real life.
So, Craig, just first of all, as we transition here a little bit to what CLC is looking for, because I want to talk a little bit about that. Let me just say, and I'm sure Chris would echo this, but man, thank you for your devotion to the ministry. Thank you for the way you've led. I had the privilege of getting to serve under you for a time as well. And brother, I am so grateful for that time. And I'm grateful for the influence you've had on the ministry. I know there's so many other people that are very grateful for that as well. And as a leader in any position, when you're in leadership like that, man, you take your lumps. I know nobody leaves an organization after a decade without some bruises and bumps and things like that. And dude, I'm just grateful for your willingness to serve well and maybe for the sacrifices you've made. I know the sacrifices you made in the process. I think there's a lot of men who owe a debt of gratitude to you for your role. So just want to thank you for that.
Well, I want to thank you guys because you are shining examples of why CLC does what it does. You're both graduates of CLC.
Yep.
You're alumni. And I can point to you guys as an example of what CLC graduates are supposed to look like. And I do that without hesitation. God is using you, has used you, will continue to use you. And if CLC was even a small sliver of a slice in your transformation and spiritual development, then it's been worth it. Well worth it. You guys are rock stars in my book. And I'll try not to tear up because I don't want my mascara to run. But man, you guys, I love you guys. And CLC works because I can see it in your life. So thank you.
I wrote the two books that I wrote, the two devotionals, I explained in the first book because of my CLC experience. I did almost 4 years in CLC because we did what then was the only program and all in. And then we did Next Steps when it was just coming out. When we had run out of things to do, because that's all there was back then, I was dejected. I missed my buddies. I didn't see them every Friday morning. And I said, well, maybe I should write a devotional. And my experience is a similar experience to what thousands and thousands of men have had. And the reason I know that is when we were doing the rebranding process, we went through testimonials of men and their wives and others who had been impacted by CLC. And it was just again and again, my life has been transformed. My marriage was saved. I have relationships with my kids. I have a band of brothers now. Again and again, hundreds and thousands of times, we saw that and we said, when we talk about CLC, how can we capture this? And so it became Christ-led communities because it's a community of men who've developed true community as a result of going through this relational experience.
Band of brothers, right?
Band of brothers, yeah. I appreciate the appreciation, but really, once you go through CLC, you want to give back. You want to invest in other men's lives because men have invested in you.
That rebranding process was so pivotal, and I will take that. The two testimonials that will stick with me as long as I live, probably, are one guy who responded to the question, how has CLC influenced your life? How has God used CLC in your life? And he said, my CLC brothers will carry my casket out of the church.
Oh, man, that is powerful.
The wife of one of our graduates said, I was married to a good man. Now I'm married to a godly man. And I didn't know the difference until he went through CLC.
Gosh.
How strong is that?
That's amazing. Yeah. And so many guys have those stories. I share, of course, on here often, and of course, in my book, just the impact that it had when God was in the process of forcing me into the light, out of the darkness from my addiction to pornography, and transparency and vulnerability and authentic relationship with men in the CLC group that I was plugged into. Oh my gosh, it was absolutely pivotal. Exactly where I needed to be. And man, I will always remember that. So, okay, Craig, I'm going to put this text from the email from Lee Gerstenberger, who is the chairman of...
He's the board chair.
Okay.
And he's Stan is the chairman of the search committee.
Okay. So Stan Foraker, who we were really hoping to get on, he wasn't able to connect with us, unfortunately. But I have an email here with information about what CLC is looking for. And their ask for people to keep an eye out or share the job description and information about CLC in order to hopefully inform whoever the next president will be. So I will put that in the show notes so people can reference that and see that, click on the links and look into that. And who knows? We're in the Biblical Leadership Podcast Network. So we know that we've got pastors and leaders of all sorts of ministries who are in the listening audience right now. So Craig, you've been around the board. You guys have been working on this for a while. How would you characterize what CLC is looking for in the next president?
Fearless, visionary, an influencer of other men. Mm-hmm. Somebody that can make the big ask and dream big. Mm-hmm. Those are primary. The new president also needs to be able to have a shepherding heart. Because if you have 14 territorial managers, 14 area directors, they need to be undergirded and directed without them knowing you're directing them. You know what I mean?
That's right, because they're leaders in their own right. Yes,
give them exactly. Give them the freedom to run when they need to run, but then also have the wherewithal to say, "Hey, you know, brother, have you thought about this?" This might work to your advantage in that situation. So, you know, some management skills in there too, but primary is visionary, charting the course for the ministry, because I'm telling you right now, the board will not get in your way. They will not. They will help you take flight to wherever you want to go. As long as it's not illegal or immoral. I mean, that's, you know.
Does the next president have to be a Michigan fan? That's the big question.
You know, that would be to their advantage, I think.
If, that's good.
So I can't apply. Yeah, so I'm sorry.
Don't don't make me say go blue or anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a good year for you.
It has.
Yeah. Next year, maybe not so much, but this year's been good.
Okay. So, Craig, I'm looking at the email here, and again, I'll put this information in the show notes. Where can guys go at this point to find out information about the role of the president and some of the qualifications being asked for and information about CLC, et cetera?
I believe it's posted on our website, clchq.org. You can call the organizational office in Nashville at 615-370-5020. And we'll put you in touch with Stan. He'll probably direct you to the link where you can tell us a little bit about yourself. The next thing you know, you'll be talking to a board member.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Stan Foraker is leading the charge on the board, the search committee, I guess you might call it. So they'd be in touch with him. Do you know what the process will look like for someone working through that process? Obviously, they'll be in touch with the board, have that conversation, but then what goes from there?
You will have an interview with one board member that's a member of the search committee. The next step is you will have an interview by Zoom with all four members of the search committee. And then if the search committee feels like you might be the guy, then you will move to the selection committee. And the selection committee would be made up of alumni and board members who will make the final selection. And then you'll be stuck with me as the new president because I will onboard you and show you all the moving parts for about 3 to 4 months. Okay. And then after that, like I said, I'll be fly fishing in Montana praying for you, but I will not interfere. I don't micromanage anyway, but I certainly won't with the new hire. call me if you need me.
Yeah, right.
I'm loving you from a distance.
Yeah. What a cool, amazing opportunity. Man, I love how intentional and thoughtful both you, the board, and CLC has been about this whole process and how to bring this person on and onboard them. And the fact that you are available and going to be helping to transition. Maybe this is a standard in the corporate world. Maybe not. I don't know. You've been in the corporate world, Craig. You know, no, Chris is shaking his head. No, it's not. No.
So this is not a standard in the corporate world. Usually in the corporate world, the outgoing president disappears fairly quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get the hand-holding and the assistance that Craig will provide.
Right, right. Oh, man. That's amazing. Again, but what a really cool opportunity. So I cannot wait to see who this person is. And I can't wait to go through the process of officially and hopefully many different ways celebrating you, Craig, and your tenure, whether it be at one of those CLC breakfasts in Nashville with someone like, I don't know, Michael W. Smith or someone leading worship. And anyway, yeah, that'll be fun, man, to celebrate that last decade.
Well, I'm not dying, so at least I'm not planning to. So once I do retire, you guys are going to see me on a much more personal, non-professional basis.
Ooh.
I'm not going to play tennis, Chris. Sorry. I'm horrible at tennis, but we'll do something.
That sounds exciting. Oh, and so real quick, you got plans. I've seen you on Facebook with your grandkids and everything else, but what are you excited for as you look ahead?
Yeah, I'm going to spend time with my grandkids. I'm going to spend more time tying my own flies and fishing for trout and playing golf. And then I tell everybody, I'm going to take 6 months after I train the new president. I'm going to take 6 months and do absolutely nothing. Sleep late, eat fattening foods, belch when I want to, all that manly stuff. Okay. And then after 6 months, I'll regroup. I'll end up doing something. I'm not going to just sit on the couch, but I don't know. God's in charge.
Well, I know, Craig, you got to go. So my quick question is, what's the timing on this? Because I don't think we mentioned it. So what is the target date for having the new president in place?
I would think the new guy would be in place sometime this year. And then, like I said, I'll take 3 or 4 months to show him the ropes, introduce him to major donors, fly around introducing him to area directors, maybe stop in, visit with you guys some. And then once he feels like he's got what it takes, he knows where all the moving parts are, then I'll inform the board and I'll step back and he'll take it over.
Awesome.
All right.
All right. Craig, thank you so much for your time. Real quick, I want to pray for you as we head out here, okay?
Great.
Father, thank you so much for Craig. Thank you for the work that you've done in and through him in the ministry of CLC, all the ways, Lord, that you've shown yourself really, really faithful, God. We're just grateful to you, Father. So we pray for your blessing and provision for Craig and his wife, Wendy, as they move on, and pray that it would just be a special, special time for them. And we know you're not done with him. We know that who knows what you're going to be doing in the future, Father. So just pray for your provision and that you would lay out those steps, whatever those are, God. But we entrust him to you, God, and we entrust CLC into your hands and look forward to what you have in store. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.